Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. 1 year ago today, the college basketball FBI scandal broke. And I can remember just as we were coming on the air is when it broke that day, specifically to the Louisville market and the things that involved or initial reports that would involve Louisville. And of course, my, how that program has gone on to change drastically, not just the men's basketball program, but the athletic department as a whole over the last year. New coach, new athletic director, so many changes, obviously, and not just to Louisville, but on a national perspective, a lot of rule changes, and it's expected even more forthcoming as some of the rules and the changes with the recruiting period. We talked so much about that over the summer back in August as that plays out, but obviously a year ago it was a crazy day that kind of left everyone's head spinning, and you wondered, you know, is our program safe? Our is in whatever team you pull for, whatever school you attended, whatever school you root for when they're on TV. It seemed to be a situation that no one knew at the time how sweeping it might be in college basketball. But obviously a crazy day. Hard to believe that's been a year ago. And also hard to believe it syncs up with the start of practice. You know, what a time for something like that to break. With coaches and assistant coaches, of course, indicted at a number of different schools with practices already underway. So, interesting, busy week. Practices started yesterday, the year anniversary of this college basketball scandal a year ago today. IU Media Day is later today in Bloomington. We expect to hear from Archie Miller, maybe some other coaches as well. I think they made Ed Schilling available last year, if my memory serves me correct. Expect to hear from some players. I don't know a lot about. I was at Media Day last year. I'll be there later today. I've never been one of the guys that hits a lot of the press conferences. You can get all the audio online. We play some highlights of what Archie says after the games. The Media Day's different, though. You really kind of get an in-depth conversation. There's not really a specific angle. Lots of general questions. The reporters there that obviously cover the Hoosiers day in and day out do a great job of asking all the things that need to be asked to get a lot of information from Coach Miller and the others that talk. So I just enjoy sitting there getting the audio and kind of taking the whole thing in. But I do think the Media Day is interesting because it kind of is an open forum to a certain extent, and you normally have Archie Miller for a number of minutes, a decent period of time, and that's not always the case. He's, as we've talked, for better or for worse, he's not the most open or college basketball coach out there that likes to appear on all the radio shows and all the podcasts out there. He's much more reserved, and I like it. So things like today really matter with him. You really feel like when you leave the room and when you get audio to play on your show or to use for your newspaper story or whatever your angle is there, you really feel like you get some good stuff that you didn't know going into it. So it'll be interesting to see what Coach Miller has to say today. And it also will be interesting. I don't know. I was kind of headed into this when I started saying all that. I don't know enough about it to know if they let freshmen speak or not. I was trying to remember who got the opportunity to talk last year. I know Robert Johnson was one of them. Seemed to be maybe Deron Davis as well. So maybe some younger players will get the opportunity. I don't know if we'll be able to hear from Romeo and get a chance to have him answer some questions or not, but that would sure be interesting. But whatever happens, we'll have a full rundown of it tomorrow on the show and have some audio clips from some of that that you might find interesting over the next couple days. So that will be fun later today to see what happens. And then, of course, everyone is gearing up for Hoosier Hysteria. I continue to hear from so many people that, hey, how much are tickets, or how do you get tickets, or where should we park, or you know, whatever the case is, and people that have never been or haven't been for many years. And that all leads me to believe what I've said all week with a lot of our guests, that I think this will be one of the more crazy Hoosier Hysterias that have ever happened. So excited about that. Saturday night will be fun, and we're going to talk more about Hoosier Hysteria, as we have done all week building up to it and will continue to do. We do have some more details on it, though. IU did put out some more details yesterday. We'll cover those here in just a minute. Let's look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, we'll have the Hoosier headlines, which are the news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, Jeff Rabjohns. Great day to have him as we get ready to head to IU Media Day later this afternoon and Hoosier Hysteria around the corner. Keon Brooks announced its top six schools yesterday. We'll talk with him about all those topics and more coming up in the next segment. Also, Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, the football writer for Pigs. He will drop in for a Wednesday chat. We'll talk some IU football. Talk a little David Bell from a recruiting standpoint. I'm going to talk about him in the headlines coming up in just a second. We'll also talk IU Rutgers. We'll get Matt's thoughts on the IU Michigan State game, although we've kind of recapped that the last couple days. We'll get his thoughts on that game before we ask him about this weekend's game with Rutgers. So a lot to cover. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline one, some details announced for Hoosier Hysteria. Everybody wanting to know more about it. Here's basically verbatim what was sent out yesterday. It starts at 4 o'clock this Saturday at Assembly Hall. Doors will open at 2 p.m., and it says that fans should be able to watch the second half of the IU-Rutgers football game on the video board inside of Assembly Hall. The admission is free. Like in past years, fans are asked to donate a canned food item to benefit the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. Parking, a lot of questions about this. If you plan on arriving to stand in line early, trying to get the best seat possible, you'll have to park in the feed lane, F-E-E lane parking garage. Parking lots, it says, around Memorial Stadium, and Assembly Hall will open at 12:30 p.m., which is later than some of you will want to get there due to a Hoosiers Outrun Cancer event that takes place each year with about 5,000 participants. So those parking lots are going to be absolutely jam-packed for another event before people can actually get in those lots and park for the Hoosier Hysteria function that night. Schedule posters. All fans in attendance will receive free schedule posters for both the men's and the women's programs. Those are always a big hit. I know a lot of people collect those men's posters with the heads on them and have them displayed various places. Also part of the program on Saturday, the WNIT champion IU women's basketball program, they will be recognized during the event, and the championship banner from that will be unveiled at Assembly Hall during the event. Other highlights of the evening, player introductions, and this is kind of general stuff that we knew about. Player introductions for the men's and the women's team will take place. Both coaches, head coaches, Archie Miller on the men's side, Terry Morin on the women's side, they will talk with the crowd. Men's and women's players will participate, it says, in shooting contests, and the men's team will also have a dunk contest. That will be interesting. And the men's team will also scrimmage on Saturday. That's the big deal. That's what everybody wanted to know. That's what everybody wants to see, whether it's a short 10-15-minute scrimmage, or sometime it's been longer, 30 minutes or so, I think the longest that I remember on the game clock. But there will be a scrimmage for the men's team on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. Autographs, a lot of people want to know if they can get Romeo's autograph again, or maybe Juwan Morgan's autograph. It says following the conclusion of the event, both men's and women's teams will be available in the concourse of the facility to sign autographs One item per person will be signed for each player, time permitting. And a lot of people that can't go saying, hey, is this on Big Ten Network? Is this going to be streamed? How can we follow it at home? It says Hoosier Hysteria will be streamed on Big Ten Network plus Big Ten Network to go. It's a $9.95 per month service or $80 or so for the year. And you can go to www.btn2go.com. So lots of details there. They're online if I went too fast, but lots of details there about Hoosier Hysteria. Obviously, lots of people very interesting and interested in what they're going to see, and a lot of people planning to get there early. So some interesting info there on parking and parking lots, where to park, when other parking lots closer to the stadiums will become available. Headline number two is all about Keon Brooks, of course, from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Decided to play his final year of high school basketball at LaPorte La Lemire, and he is going to have a top six. And he announced that yesterday. Indiana, Kentucky, UCLA, North Carolina, Purdue, Michigan State, they are all in his top six. No real surprises there with his top six. Obviously, Indiana would have been a major shock had he not been in Keon Brooks's list of final six. Here's what he told PrepCircuit.com. He gave kind of a couple sentences on each school after tweeting out a graphic. Kind of a neat deal. It was a cartoon graphic of him in the center wearing his LaPorte La Lemire high school jersey and smaller cartoon versions of him surrounding the main picture of him in each graphic of the final six schools. These kids like to put their own creative touch in some of these edits, they're called, to announce their top six or even their college choice. So Keon put a little special touch on his. But here's what he told PrepCircuit.com. Quote, being from Indiana has been a big factor. To be able to wear and represent my state across my chest means a lot. They have also taken the time to go out of their way to just recruit me, but to recruit my whole family as well. That means a lot to me because I'm a very family-oriented person. So he obviously had really positive things to say about each of the six schools, as you would think he would after announcing his final six, his top six. But some really good things there for Indiana. And a lot of people think that IU is obviously really in good shape with Trace Jackson Davis. But a lot of people believe they're in good shape with Keon Brooks, too. And what a back-to-back recruiting class that would be. Romeo Langford with some other in-state guys, other Midwestern guys in 2018, followed up by Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, and, of course, Armand Franklin, all from Indiana in the 2019 class. We'll have to see if it'll happen. It looks like Keon maybe still some time between when he will make his decision, when he will commit. But I think the recruiting of both Trace Jackson Davis and he beginning to wind down as they take the official visits. And once those official visits have all been taken, it will be interesting to see who commits first, how long it will take for one of them to commit. Will they possibly announce near the same time? And if they were going to Indiana, would they announce together? That would be pretty cool, pretty interesting, and to take their announcement to a whole nother level, obviously, as well. So that's the latest with Keon Brooks. Headline number three today, David Bell, great football player, also a great basketball player at Warren Central. He has set his decision date for which college football program he will choose. He's ranked as the number two prospect in Indiana, according to 24/7 Sports. He also is very highly rated on a national scale as well. He will make his decision January 5th at the All-American Bowl, which will be played in San Antonio, Texas. A lot of players make their decision at that event. Rondale Moore, who backed away from Texas and ended up going to Purdue, the New Albany native, he made his decision at the All-American Bowl a year ago. It's also live on NBC, and they give some time for the top players on NBC network television to make their commitment. So it looks like David Bell will go that route. His list right now, and I think this is basically a final list that he's going to decide from, Indiana and Purdue, Iowa, Penn State, and Ohio State. So he's got a good mix of some locals. He's got a good mix of some of the better football programs in the Big Ten and in the country with Ohio State and Penn State. But I don't think there will be any surprise if he picks Indiana or Purdue and spurns the Ohio State or the Penn State opportunity. I think a lot of people maybe expect him to stay locally and play within the state of Indiana. He also was in Bloomington yesterday for practice, and I think he has his official visit set for December 8th. That's still forthcoming. Headlines each day are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Great deal on Wednesdays at Hoopsters. You buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, you get three or six free. That's every Wednesday at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Terrific deal on wings. You buy three, you get three. You buy six, you get six. Great deal at Hoopsters. Make sure you stop by for lunch or dinner today. This happens every Wednesday at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. One other note before we go. I saw Sports Illustrated. They've been running a lot of neat series about college basketball leading up to the season. They wrote a story on their top college basketball rivalries. Indiana mentioned twice. I think it was a list of 10, maybe 15. Indiana number 9 in a series that doesn't even exist right now. Indiana and Kentucky rated as the 9th best rivalry in college basketball. Also, Indiana and Purdue, very rightfully so, in the number 4 spot. Yes, number 4 spot as rivals. Ahead of that, you've got Cincinnati Xavier. That's always a great rivalry. Kentucky Louisville, obviously a great rivalry. Should be no surprise. The number 1 college basketball rivalry, at least according to this Sports Illustrated article, North Carolina and Duke, one of the great ones out there. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll talk Hoosier hysteria. We'll talk IU Media Day, what to expect, what maybe you'll learn from that later today, and a lot more coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and joined by Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Jeff, big week for IU basketball. Practices have officially begun. IU Media Day today, Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. Keon Brooks mentioned his top six yesterday with IU in the mix, and a lot of things going all of a sudden from a basketball perspective.
Yeah, there definitely are, and obviously Hoosier Hysteria is the big story. It's kind of a two-part situation. Obviously, it's the first look that the fans will get at the team. And I think more importantly, it's a big recruiting tool. You got two in-state five-stars in Trace Jackson Davis, the 6'9" forward from Center Grove, Keon Brooks, the 6'7" forward originally from Fort Wayne, playing his senior year at Alamere. So you've got two studs from in-state making official visits. Obviously, that makes it incredibly important. You're going to have a lot of other players from around the state there as well. Five-star 2021 point guard Christian Lander out of Evansville. Highly regarded 6'9" center Caleb First out of Fort Wayne. DJ Hughes from Morris North. Kurt Hall from down there around Forest Park. A whole lot of other guys. So it's going to be – Friday is going to be a big deal Saturday, excuse me, is going to be a big deal for the IU basketball program.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Let's kind of start with, and you've touched on some of the recruiting stuff, which is great, but let's start with practices starting, media day today, and work our way through the week. We've talked before, you don't get a ton of opportunities to hear from Archie Miller, so when you've got a open setting with plenty of time to ask questions, today can really produce some good stuff because he's a coach that doesn't talk all the time. He doesn't call press conferences all the time. There aren't a lot of availabilities for him outside of the season. So today I expect that we'll learn a lot more about this team and how practices in the last day or so have went and how workouts this summer went and maybe some interesting tidbits about the upcoming season.
Yeah, I actually like the way Archie does it. When he talks, it's kind of more significant. And there's been some time between when he talks, so there's actually something to ask, and I kind of enjoy it. Not that there's anything wrong with coaches who talk all the time, but this just gives it a little more weight, gives it a little more significance. So it's certainly very notable. There is a lot to talk about, you know, because we hear things throughout the course of the year, throughout the course of the spring, throughout the course of the summer. And this is more of a chance to actually sit down and talk with Archie Miller in some specifics. Obviously, there's a lot of key topics to hit on. You know, Romeo Langford has gained quite a bit of weight and strength. I'm very curious to hear Archie talk about what specifically impact that's going to have on Romeo's game. Devontae Green has had a terrific spring and summer. Very curious to talk to Archie about that. Evan Fitzner, the grad transfer, has had some phenomenal shooting performances from three-point range during his time on campus. And curious to get Archie's thoughts on how he's going to best utilize that. And then there's other guys, you know, Justin Smith, the sophomore forward. He's really added a lot of strength. I know that was a big key because there were so many shots inside that he just didn't finish last year. And the coaching staff thought was, well, let's start there. Let's start by helping him finish the ones that he's getting and then add to his game from there. So it'll be interesting to hear Archie talk about that. And then just some other things, just like how they're going to play, where different guys are defensively. You know, you got Jerome Hunter out there who's done some work during the summertime with the guards. I would not call him a guard, but he's done some guard work. So it'll be interesting to see Archie's plan for him to start his freshman year, because he's one of those guys who certainly has an opportunity to improve quite a bit. You know, and then Robert Phinisee, I think it's very intriguing. He's the freshman not named Romeo Langford who's in the mix for the most minutes among the freshmen. But, you know, so how's he going to get used? You know, how is he just going to be straight backup point? Is there any thought about playing 2 points, which some schools like North Carolina and Villanova have done recently with terrific success? Is Tennessee, you know, physically ready for that? There's all kinds of things to talk about. So I think it should be a fun day today. And I always enjoy these times when you get to talk to coaches and the players.
Absolutely. Any idea on players? And do you think, given that he's a freshman, would Romeo be maybe one of the players selected to talk with the media today?
Yeah, he's going to talk to the media. He's actually going to go early. He and Juwan Morgan are going to be the first two to do Q&As. So I think we're going to get all the players today, including the walk-ons. So it'll be a full day of all the players. Juwan Morgan, Romeo Langford, Phinisee, Davis, Moore, Forster, McRoberts, Durham, Hunter Green, Thompson, Anderson Smith, Evan Fitzner, Jaeger, Blackman, Taylor, the walk-ons. I think they'll all be there for media interviews today.
Jeff Rabb, JohnsPeaks.com, our guest. Looking ahead to Saturday, you've mentioned the importance of recruiting, and I thought Mike Pegram did a good job yesterday breaking down some of the visits and how the day would go for especially Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who are there for an official visit this week, which is a big, big deal in their recruiting processes. What do you look for, Jeff? You're always investigative. You're always informative. You always have a watchful eye on things. Obviously, there's a lot at Hoosier Hysteria that's fluff, and rightfully so, for the fans to get everybody excited for the upcoming season. The kids love the slam dunk contest. It's fun to see the men's and women's teams shoot against each other in some contests like that. But there is a short scrimmage of some sort we know that will take place again this year. What do you look for in that to really gain some great information, some great insight into what could lie ahead over the next couple of months? What will be a couple things that on Saturday you'll really be paying attention to?
Well, I know this is going to sound like absolute heresy to some people, but the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage really does nothing for me because it's only a snapshot, and actual formal practice really hasn't even started. Guys are just going to go out there and do a little bit of this and that and try to make some shots. But it's not a formal practice. You know, the idea is don't get anybody hurt. Not that the idea is to get anybody hurt in practice, but certainly you're being careful with a public show. And, you know, to some degree, the scrimmage, you're keeping in mind, guys are scrimmaging while recruits are there watching, you know. So sometimes, you know, if you've got guys who want to be out on the wing, you really emphasize, you know, here's what we do on the wing. So guys are the recruits sitting there behind the bench watching and go, hey, I like that. So I really, and again, I know that's heresy to some. I understand that. But I think the exhibition games, I think early season games, I just think those are far more instructive than Hoosier hysteria has ever been. Now, it's fun to get your eyes on people. I understand that because, you know, we have an opportunity to see some things here and there that the casual fans don't. So the casual fans, you know, they might not have physically seen Romeo Langford since he finished up with New Albany High School. They're going to go, whoa, hey, that guy's added some strength. You know, look at his shoulders. You know, there's going to be some things that people look at and say, hey, that's new, or here's what I liked, here's what I didn't like. And that's totally understandable. I just, doing hard basketball takeaways from things like Midnight Madness, Hoosier Hysteria, et cetera, I've always thought was a little bit pushing the envelope on creating something that's not there. I really like, to me, I like watching what kind of a show is it, and then when I talk to recruits a couple days later to see, you know, what did they think of it? Did it resonate with them? I do think it's smart that Indiana University has finally kicked up the budget for Hoosier Hysteria. The budget's going to be about triple what it has been in the past. And I've long been a proponent of, you know, if you're in Indiana and you want to get big-time players, you have to have the bells and whistles. Bells and whistles might not win you recruiting battles, but when recruits see bells and whistles everywhere except for your place, not having them can put you behind. And why in the world would you want to lay down roadblocks as you have to get over in recruiting? Just get rid of the roadblocks. Put on a cool show. Yes, maybe some of the older folks may not like it, although I was reading on our board and there are a whole lot of people saying, hey, I'm 70, I like it, I'm 78. You know, I want the recruits to do what they think is cool. So I've always thought, put on a show. Put on a big show. Make it cool. You know, you've got all this technology there at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Bring it to bear on Hoosier Hysteria and put in a show. That's to me, it's a recruiting event, and I think that's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. Jeff Rapp, JohnSpeaks.com, talking about Hoosier Hysteria recruiting. Let's talk about Keon Brooks, his top six he announced yesterday. Indiana in the mix, obviously. I think it would have been a huge surprise to all if Indiana wasn't on his list of six. Your thoughts on the schools that did make the list and generally where you see Indiana at with Keon Brooks heading into his official visit this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Indiana was definitely going to be on there. And I think those six have been the six, to be honest, since mid-July. Because I remember I talked to him and he laid out, here's the five schools I want to take official visits to, and I also want to take an unofficial visit to Purdue. And the six ended up being the five he wants to take official visits to plus Purdue. So I really don't think anything has changed as far as the core schools since mid-July, and probably really even since early July, since right after the Peach Jam, because I remember talking to him down there, and he had a, you know, he had a very good idea of what five he wanted to take official visits to. He said, let's talk next week. And then, you know, he was comfortable going on the record the following week when they were up in Grand Rapids, and nothing's really changed. So I think the six are, you know, I don't think there's any playing with the list here. Now, I do think there are some schools who are in a little stronger than others on that list. I think there are some that are more likely than others. I think it's going to be a little bit of a surprise if he goes too terribly far away for college. I think it's more likely that he stays in the general Midwest footprint within about 4 hours or so of his home in Fort Wayne. You know, UCLA does a phenomenal job on visits, and anybody who's ever been to that campus and realized and then, you know, has looked around, opened their eyes, understands why. And you go a mile west and you're on the beach. Where you stay for official visits, you actually have an ocean view. It's very easy to see why a UCLA does a good job. And North Carolina has phenomenal facilities, phenomenal history, and Roy Williams is very charming. They'll do a good job when they get him out there as well. I just think at the end of the day, it's more likely that he stays within 4 or 5 hours of Fort Wayne than he goes all the way out to either one of the coasts.
Jeff Rapp, JohnSpeaks.com. And again, a lot of this is just what's kind of been put out there. I don't know that any of it means much. But I think if you ask the average person, the average fan, maybe even myself, I would say that if I had to pick who I thought Indiana had the best chance to get between Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks, I would say Trace Jackson Davis. Obviously, Trace has said, hey, you know, I'm not a leaned Indiana. I want to go through the process. I want to be recruited by the schools that are still on my list and see where things end up. That said, do you think that is there a better chance with either player, or do you think that both of their recruitments are still ongoing and it would be hard to say? It just seems like there's been a lot more positive buzz consistently about Trace Jackson Davis than there has Keon Brooks, although obviously a lot of connection between Keon, his family, the Indiana coaching staff. He's had good things to say about them as well. So by no means do I want to paint a picture like Trace yes, Keon no, but do you think there's one maybe that's closer to a commitment or leans more Indiana than the other?
Well, I think, first of all, without question, Trace Jackson Davis is further along in his process. He's just a lot. He's been evaluating things in a lot heavier detail for a longer period of time than Keon has. Just as an example, you know, Trace was going to take an official visit to Wake Forest because he liked Danny Manning's message about, hey, I'm Danny Manning. I was a college star. Then I went to the NBA. I don't need to teach you the path. I know the path. You know, just come do what I did, and boom, you'll be in the NBA. Well, some of the things sounded good early. The more Trace looked at situation at Wake, the more he realized, no, that's not a place where I would actually play. So he canceled the visit. So he's further down the line at breaking down the what's, what, why of various schools. I do think that IU remains the leader for Trace Jackson Davis. It's my opinion. It's nothing he stated. But I also think this is not the done deal some people have made it out to be. Some people look at, you know, what have you out there, predictions, crystal ball picks and whatever, and they say, okay, well, if there's a lot of predictions for a kid going to a certain school, then that means it's a done deal. It doesn't mean that. It just means a volume of people believe a kid is likely to be headed to a certain school. Oftentimes, that's a good indicator, but not always. And that's something to kind of keep in mind. But I do think IU is a clear leader of the clubhouse for Trace Jackson Davis. With Keon, I really think out of his six schools, there's probably three, maybe four, that I could really see him picking. And as he goes through the official visits, we'll get a sense of which schools are really making him a priority. Because even though Kentucky's on there and Kentucky does a terrific job, they've already got Khalil Whitney out of Chicago, who's a very similar player, both skill-wise and positionally. When they were up at Lalamere, you know, Kentucky really spent a lot of time with five-star center Isaiah Stewart, more time than they spent with Keon. So it gives you a little indication they like Keon, but do they love him? Do they really, 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 really want him? So now if Kentucky cranks it up, yeah, they're going to be serious, a serious player and a serious option. But they haven't exactly done that just yet. Now they're still very much in the room. But you know, I think right now, Indiana is in there among the schools that he's serious about as far as Keon Brooks. But anybody saying Keon has a leader in his own mind, has not talked to Keon or his family for some time. This thing is reasonably open, at least among four of those six final six.
We're talking with Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Big week for IU basketball. First official practice yesterday, media day later this afternoon, and Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. Also, this time of year, Jeff, it's been fun to track a number of guys with IU connections in the NBA. It's that time of year for media days where you get to hear from players and see the video clips that are put on social media. One of the things I saw yesterday, Eric Gordon for the Houston Rockets, obviously he's been NBA Sixth Man of the Year a number of times. He's had some great performances, really has had a terrific NBA career, and hope that that can continue for a number of more years. But year 11 is what he tweeted out. A good first day of practice. That was his tweet yesterday. That's really unbelievable.
It really is. And we were trading text the other day and said, man, why'd you have to say that? And he's like, what? What's wrong? I said, man, you're making me feel old. I covered you through 4 years of high school, a year in college, 11 years in the NBA. I'm like, I had all that up, dude. That's almost 20 years for people who watched him all the way through high school. But it's great for him. He's healthy. He's happy. He likes the team. He likes his role. Obviously, he really has excelled in the role that they have for him down there with the Rockets. Certainly the West is loaded with Golden State being there, the Lakers adding LeBron. But EJ is excited, energized, really ready to go. I ran into him a couple times over the summer, and he feels good. He likes the team. He likes the role. So he's really in a good position right now. For a guy who is, you know, in the 11th year in the NBA. And if he stays healthy, you know, certainly he still has years left. I'm really happy for him. I think everybody who's had a chance to follow him, you know, has seen, you know, he's been in some tough spots at times, and now he's in a really good situation with what certainly from the outside and from what you hear looks to be a very good franchise.
Jeff Rabb, JohnsPeaks.com. Jeff, great week for IU basketball. It means the season is that much closer. Lots of great coverage from you and the Peaks.com website. Very appreciative of the chat today. Always informative, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Matt, always appreciate it, my friend. Take care and have a great week.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabb, JohnsPeaks.com, our guest. All sorts of IU basketball information today, from Hoosier Hysteria to recruiting and more. We'll head to a break. We'll switch gears when we come back. Matt Weaver, also of Peaks.com, he's the football specialist. He will join us to talk a little bit about the Hoosiers coming up with their game on the road at Rutgers this weekend. We'll talk a little David Bell. I mentioned him in the headline segment that he now has a date for his decision. We'll get Matt's gauge on where he sees the IU football program with Bell and his recruitment. Are they a legitimate contender to land the big in-state prospect? That and more coming up next. Matt Weaver of Peaks.com will be with us right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment of our Wednesday show. Matt Weaver of Peaks.com, the football writer for Peaks, is with us to talk Hoosiers on the gridiron. And Matt, we'll start with your thoughts on IU Michigan State. Obviously, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of buildup for a big home game on Saturday night. Indiana unable to get it done, unable to improve to 4-0 on the season. Still, a lot of opportunities ahead if this Indiana team can play as they did in the first 3 weeks, build on some things that did not go their way in the loss and become bowl eligible and perhaps even get a win or two beyond that, depending how things go. Your thoughts on IU Michigan State, what Indiana did wrong, what they need to improve on for this upcoming game at Rutgers?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest issue, the pretty obvious one was, you know, the offense just wasn't kind of what you thought or what it had kind of shown in the first 3 weeks. Especially the two games where they had, you know, the weather wasn't an issue. Had trouble up front blocking. As far as the passing game, you know, we've talked about this before. There was one shot that I can remember downfield. They overthrew Reese Taylor on the first possession. Couldn't get the running game going. And then that allowed Michigan State, or maybe the lack of the passing game allowed Michigan State to basically play a bunch of guys up at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, there was not a whole lot of things done to try to soften them up. I thought defensively they played pretty well. I mean, if you look back at it, they really only gave up 21 points. You know, 7 came on the pick six, the other 7 on the fake field goal. So if you would have said IU's defense was going to give up 21 points, I would have thought they'd come away with a win. You know, had the pick six can't happen. I mean, those mistakes against the Michigan State team, you just can't have those. And then the fake field goal was really disappointing, especially, you know, Coach Allen said they were kind of anticipating it, and it still was successful. So, you know, this, the mistakes you can't have against good teams, special teams breakdowns, you know, turnovers that lead either directly to points or basically set up a team to get points, you know, fairly easily, that can't happen. But, you know, offensively, this week it's going to be, you know, you're going to kind of, these issues probably aren't going to bubble up because, you know, Rutgers is just really, they're not playing well. They're not a very good team. And, you know, more than likely this should not be a tremendously difficult challenge. But, you know, after the Ohio State game, which, you know, that's going to be tough no matter what, after that game, you're going to have to fix some of these. And really, to me, you got to fix the passing game and up front. If your O-line struggles at times to block, you got to do things to help them. Either max protect, or you got to do things to soften up the defense so they just basically can't squat at 7-8 yards with their DBs and linebackers and not worry about anything going over their head.
Talking IU football, Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, our guest. Yeah, my next question was about the Rutgers game. It's obviously a road game. You never take those for granted. But as you said, it's a Rutgers team with plenty of struggles of its own.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you know, they started a freshman quarterback, and he's a talented guy, Artur Sitkowski. I think he's a four-star recruit. He's from up there, but I think he might have played at IMG for a time and, you know, the program down in Florida. But he's really struggled. And then the guy from last year, I think it's Giovanni Ravisi. I apologize if I pronounce his last name incorrectly, but he played some last year. They've not, you know, offensively they're struggling. I mean, you know, they've gotten, you know, pretty much – embarrassed the last 2 weeks against Kansas, which many, you know, feel is the worst, least Power 5 program in the country. And then, you know, a MAC school, Buffalo, who is a, it's a good, that's a quality MAC team, but a Big Ten team probably, you know, you don't think they should get beat like that on their home field by a MAC team, even if it's a quality MAC team. So they're really struggling, you know. It's just, it seems like, you know, they had some optimism coming into this year because I think they had improved their win total last year. And some people thought they might have a shot to get close to that 6-win, you know, number to try to maybe go bowling. But, boy, it's really, it's almost like they're back to square one up there. And, you know, it's looking rough. I mean, this is a game where Indiana should be motivated after a disappointing performance. It's a must win, and they need to go up there and take care of business. And then, you know, obviously you got Ohio State. That's going to be tough. I don't care how well you play. It's more than likely a loss. It's just going to be a really hard game. Not, you know, you try to be negative, but that's just – Ohio State's on a different stratosphere right now in college football with the way they're playing. So you come back, and hopefully you're 4-2 going into the Iowa game homecoming. And, you know, to me, that's kind of sticking out as a big game, maybe a must-win.
Yeah, I agree. We're win total-wise, and you've got as good a view on this team – as anyone. Obviously, there's a lot of things that can change, and who knows, coming out of the loss against Michigan State, I'm going to ask you in a minute about the quarterback. Will we see more of Penix? But win total-wise, what do you think the ceiling is for this Indiana team now that we're approaching Rutgers and Ohio State?
Well, I mean, if you kind of, I mean, I won't go, you know, I don't want to break down every game. Obviously, you guys don't want me to do that, but if you just kind of take a big picture of the rest of the schedule, to me, there's, you know, 2-3 games that even if you play your A game and play well, wins are going to be hard to come by. And that would be obviously Ohio State in 2 weeks or a week from Saturday, Penn State, and then at Michigan. Those are three teams that talent-wise, you know, they've got better players than you. Now, it's not impossible, but it's going to be really hard. Then you look at the rest of the schedule, obviously, Rutgers has got to be a win. Iowa's winnable. At Minnesota's winnable. Maryland at home is winnable. And Purdue at home is winnable. So, what do we have there, like, you know, 4 or 5 winnable games? I mean, obviously, you got to get 3 of them, you know. And I think 7 wins is still possible. I think if they would have beat Michigan State, I think 7 wins was going to happen. It's still possible, but you can't have any more hiccups. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, and that's why, to me, if you lose that Iowa game, you're 4-3 now. I mean, you still got a chance to get 2 wins, but, boy, you're really – it's kind of like those 2 years they went to a bowl game where they had to really, really scratch and claw to get to 6. It'd be nice to kind of not cruise into those last couple of games, but not have that pressure of, oh, we got to get these next couple of wins. Maybe it's more we're playing for a better bowl game than we're playing just to make a bowl. So, you know, I think 6 wins is still very doable, and I don't think 7's out of the question.
Talking IU football with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com here on this Wednesday edition of the program. bowl eligibility, obviously, with what you have to say about the projected win total or the possible win total, let's say that, would you be extremely disappointed if this team didn't qualify for a bowl and was bowl eligible? They're sure getting projected by a lot of people out there to be a bowl eligible team.
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, I think it would be very disappointing. I think it would be even more so than last year, just on the reason being that you're in year two. It's it was Coach Allen's program last year, but you still had some of the the new offensive staff. It was there was still some change going on. Everybody's now been in this system offensively and defensively for at least a year. It's a young team, fourth youngest I think in the Big Ten, and like 15th or 16th in the country. So it's a young team, but it's not a completely inexperienced team. There's some guys who have, even though they're young, they've played a decent amount of football. So it would be disappointing it doesn't kill the program. It doesn't kill Tom Allen's tenure, but it would definitely be a pretty big stumbling block. I mean, to me, 6 wins has to happen. I mean, I hate to say that, but it has to happen because, other programs are coming up. I mean, obviously Purdue looks improved. I know they're 1-3, but there's excitement with them with Jeff Brohm. And, I know Nebraska's struggling, but they're recruiting well. And Scott Frost, I think, will win there. Minnesota's recruiting pretty well, and there's a lot of excitement. So the programs that you're kind of on par with, Iowa, they continue to win. Northwestern, they're, if they go to bowls and you don't, then it just keeps knocking you down further. So, yeah, it's imperative that they get 6 wins.
IU football with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. A little recruiting. I know when the season starts, we kind of get away from the recruiting side of things. But David Bell has been a fun athlete, we'll call him, to watch in Indiana high school sports now for a couple of years. A lot of people down our way got a real opportunity to follow and see him in the state tournament when they played New Albany and then went on to undefeated basketball season with a state championship. And, of course, he's had almost equal success on the football field as well. And this year, Warren Central looks to be Indiana's top team by far. That said, he's got IU in the mix. He's got Purdue in the mix. He had said yesterday he's going to make his decision at the All-American Bowl down in San Antonio in early January, which a lot of primetime recruits do. I get the feeling that the national guys and guys like you will not be surprised if he stays with Indiana or Purdue and doesn't go to an Ohio State or a Penn State who are also on his list. What is your thoughts? What's the latest you hear on his recruitment and your thoughts on IU's chances to keep such a big guy in state?
Well, I mean, obviously first off, David, I've talked to him a few times. He's a really great kid. A lot of guys in that situation kind of get big timed a little bit, or they kind of get the, which is they're young and a lot of, but he is really, seems like a well-grounded guy and really enjoyable to talk to. I don't think it'd be a shock if he spurned Penn State or Ohio State and chose Indiana or Purdue. I mean, I know Purdue's in good shape with him. I think the most interesting part about the story that was in the Star by Kyle Nedrep was he was at IU yesterday for practice. So, we don't get to go to practice anymore. So that's one thing I miss when they bring guys in. You don't get to see them. So it's kind of a bummer. But I think that's a good sign. And then Indiana gets the last visit with him. Now, it's going to be about a month before he makes his announcement. But, I think the last visit's a good thing. I'm hoping to go catch him maybe this Friday and talk to him. They play at home against, I think, Lawrence North. So, talk to him some more about it. But, I mean, they seem to be right there. He would obviously come in and he would wherever he goes, he's going to be able to go in and be the star right away. But Indiana, definitely the case. I mean, they've got some good receivers, but, this is a special talent. I mean, at Purdue, they've got Rondell Moore is obviously outstanding. He's a terrific player. If you go to Penn State or Ohio State, there's a lot of guys there. So I'm not saying that Indiana's a better fit. I'm just saying that Indiana, he probably has a chance to come in and kind of grab the headlines right away. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. Whoever he gets, I wish him nothing but the best. Like I said, he seems like a great, great kid.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com with us. Anything else recruiting-wise stand out to you?
Yeah, there was actually a story from Greg Biggins, who's our West Coast guy for 247. David Baldwin, who's from California but is playing his senior year of football at IMG. I mentioned him earlier. It's coached by Kevin Wright. He used to be at Carmel and then before that at Warren Central. He told Greg in a story that he's Indiana, Washington State, Missouri are kind of three schools that are staying out to him. He's getting recruited. He's a lefty, which is kind of interesting after getting Michael Penix. Really good-looking prospect, has a number of big offers. And he plans on visiting actually the same weekend that David Bell is making his official visit. And also Cam Williams from Andrian, the four-star linebacker, is also planning on visiting that weekend. So that's looking the weekend of December 7th. I think they play Louisville that Saturday. I could be wrong on that. They had to give a big game that day of basketball. So it turned out to be a pretty big recruiting weekend. I'm sure there'll be several other guys there. But, you know, they need to get a quarterback in this class, and Baldwin would be a heck of a get.
Good stuff. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Make sure you follow Matt for great coverage of IU football. Nobody better when it comes to covering the Hoosiers on the gridiron. Matt, great to catch up. We'll be talking with you again next week after the Rutgers game, and of course heading into a big, huge challenge for Indiana, which will be Ohio State the following week. We'll stay up with you then. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. That's going to wrap things up, I should say, for this Wednesday edition of the program. Jeff Rabjohns, Matt Weaver with us today, IU basketball and IU football today. Don't forget, if you miss a show live, you can always catch the replay at 3 o'clock here on the Big X, most days at 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. Also, podcast available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Both are apps, or you can just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Great way to keep up with the show. If you miss a segment or a full show, you can go on demand at your convenience and listen to all of it, some of it, whatever you'd like to hear. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be at Zaxby's in New Albany, 7 o'clock. Lee Kelly with me. New Albany will be featured, their football program, from 7 to 7:30. Jeffersonville from 7:30 to 8. Those teams will meet in a big rivalry game on Friday night, week 7 of high school football. You're invited to join us at Zaxby's for dinner. And if you can, of course, you can catch the broadcast with the coaches and players right here on the Big X. That'll wrap it up. Talk with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.